Welcome to the FP Big Picture Podcast, an in-depth look at business in Canada and beyond.
Welcome to the September 9th edition of the Financial Post Big Picture Podcast. I'm Eric Lamb.
And I'm John Schmuel.
After taking an impromptu August sabbatical, we are back. I hope you didn't miss us too much.
This week on the podcast, how low can mortgage rates go and why Canadians find it so hard to save?
On Wednesday, the Bank of Canada maintained interest rates at 1%, and by all accounts, the central bank is likely to keep rates at that level for the foreseeable future. For us average Canadians, the biggest impact this has is going to be on mortgages. Christopher Mulder, a Toronto mortgage broker with Tridact Mortgages, joins us now to talk about the mortgage market. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Eric.
So, tell me, how does the Bank of Canada's decision Wednesday affect mortgage rates right now?
Well, for the time being, the decision was widely expected, that the bank was going to keep the prime rate at the same level. So that was in line with market expectations, and we haven't seen any impact to mortgage interest rates. Fixed-rate mortgages are affected by the bond market, and the bond market hasn't reacted to that decision. And, of course, if you're in a variable-rate mortgage, which is reliant upon prime, since the prime rate hasn't changed, that hasn't affected variable rate mortgages either. But one thing that is interesting that does have an impact on mortgages is the type of language that the Bank of Canada included with their decision this past Wednesday. Exactly a year ago, on September 8th, 2010, was the last time that the Bank of Canada increased the prime rate. So they jumped from 0.25% to 1%. And at the time, they cited that the global economic recovery was proceeding as planned, and they were going to continue to monitor it, and that there was a possibility or likelihood that the prime rate would be increasing. And of course, over the last year, the last eight meetings, the Bank of Canada's language has slowly changed, and they've gone from a very positive spin to this past meeting where they included very negative language. And they're very cautious proceedings. So that seems to indicate that, as you said in your introduction, the prime rate will be staying fairly stable into the near to midterm. And if you have a variable rate mortgage, it's looking like that prime rate will stay the same.
Yeah, we have seen some of the major banks fiddle with their variable rate mortgages in the last little while. Do you expect more of that to continue? Are we going to see any more fiddling with the rates?
I don't see any indication as to why the banks would start changing the spread on their variable rate mortgages. Variable rate mortgages are highly competitive for banks, and the pricing on variable rate mortgages depends on the short term money markets. So those margins were very thin, and banks were competing heavily on attracting clients with these very wide spreads on variable rate mortgages. So they were a little bit like lost leaders for the bank. Of course, last week or 2 weeks ago, we've seen that change. They've changed the spread, increasing it by about 20 basis points across the board. So for the time being, I don't see any indication to a change in variable pricing.
Okay. So what do you think this is going to do to the housing market? Are we going to see any sort of cool down because people maybe aren't as pressured on expecting mortgage rates to change in the next little while? Or maybe is it just going to encourage more people to buy houses with
sure.
the low rates?
Yeah. I think, depending on who you ask, there have been rumblings over the summer from many economists with the expectation that the housing market is starting to cool, starting to show signs, and that in the foreseeable future we'll see up to a 25% decrease to housing values nationally. And I think this decision to keep the prime rate low and stable, of course, there's a lot of rumblings about what's happening in the United States. The Federal Reserve has all but promised to keep their prime rate at stable until 2013, so the Bank of Canada can't really move. So looking at the housing market, I think what this decision will do is it'll prolong a tipping point if, in fact, we are going to see a cooling of the market. But I expect that that we'll see continue to see things kind of level off and continue at the same level that they're at right now with modest gains.
What do you think about home prices as well? Do you think that's going to be trending in the same direction?
The home prices, I mean, home prices are determined by affordability. And so if we're seeing that the mortgage rates are staying low, then, of course, that will encourage, especially first-time home buyers and people getting into the market, it'll mean that they're going to get a lot more bang for their buck. So we still may see those prices increase. But I think for the time being, the market has kind of reached its equilibrium, and I can't see that housing values are going to be driven up dramatically.
Okay. So when do you think we're going to see rates move? When do you think we'll even see rates rise?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, we have to look at two sides of the market. One side is the fixed market, and one side is the variable, which have similar factors affecting them. As I mentioned before, with the variable market, your rate is, of course, dependent on the prime rate. So as the prime rate increases, the effective rate on your mortgage would increase. Now, the Federal Reserve in the United States has, again, promised not to change their prime rate until 2013. And everybody, of course, knows our relationship as Canadians to the American economy. We rely heavily on exports. And if the Bank of Canada starts changing our prime rate dramatically, that'll, of course, affect the exchange rates and import-export. So I don't see that the Bank of Canada will be able to change the prime rate into the next 12 to 18 months. So I don't see any changes there for the time being. And in terms of fixed-rate mortgages, the pricing of fixed-rate mortgages is dependent upon the bond market, and investors are, for the time being, flocking to the bond market and keeping those bond yields low. We have all kinds of uncertainty in Europe and of course, south of the border as well. So for the next 12 months, I can't see that there will be a dramatic trend upwards in interest rates.
Okay. So if right now I'm in the market looking to buy a home, what kind of strategy should I be using? What kind of mortgage should I get?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, right now, we as mortgage brokers, we're always studying. Rates are at the lowest they've ever been historically, but they really are. I mean, right now, we can arrange a fixed five-year for as low as 3.29% in the market. And if you also look at variable pricing, we're looking at about 2.5% for a five-year variable. So the spread between those two rates is only about 0.75% between going fixed or variable. And there are pros and cons for each of them. And it really would be difficult to determine which product, fixed or variable, is going to get you further ahead in your mortgage, which one is going to outperform the other. So given the current market circumstances right now, and at risk of generalizing, because of course the decision of each individual should be based on their circumstances, but I really like the 50-50 mortgages that are available in the market right now. Everybody understands when it comes to your investment portfolio that investment diversification is key to having a strong portfolio. With a 50-50 mortgage where you can take 50% variable, 50% fixed, you get rate diversification. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You're still paying a really low effective rate. And I'm liking that option right now. It's becoming very difficult for Canadians to choose between fixed or variable. So why choose? Take the best of both worlds.
If you get a 50-50 mortgage, what kind of, I guess, combined rate are you talking about there?
Yeah. One of my favorite ones is a product through Merrick's Financial, and they're offering an effective rate of 3.02. And the way that they get to that rate is they offer half of the balance fixed at 3.49%, and the other half is variable at prime minus 45. So that's an effective rate of 2.55. And if you take the average rate, it works out to 3.02%.
Okay. All right. An economist actually with RBC just earlier said that mortgage rules in Canada might get tightened because of the rate environment. And we've already seen this happen a couple of times in the last year or so. Do you think this is going to happen again?
Well, last week the CMHC came out with a report citing that home refinances were down 40% since introducing the new mortgage rules last April. So it's been less than a year, what is that, 6 months or so, and down 40%. That's a pretty successful program. I think that they've achieved what they were looking to set out to do. So the government of Canada, the Bank of Canada, and our finance minister, Jim Flaherty, they have a tight rope to walk, so to speak, because on the one side, they have a responsibility to discourage borrowers overstretching themselves and taking on too much debt. But at the same time, we are in a shaky economic environment, and they don't want to take the legs out from under the market. So for the time being, I wouldn't expect to see any changes to mortgage rules. I think what would affect that decision would be if we saw a large spike in housing prices, if housing prices were being driven up by borrowers.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sure you're going to be kept very busy with all the people looking for houses in such a low-rate environment. So I guess we'll leave it there for today. But
okay.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Chris.
No problem. My pleasure, Eric.
Great. So for more from Chris, check out his blog at sonofabroker.com.
Two years after the recession officially ended in Canada, the majority of Canadians continue to live paycheck to paycheck. Data from the Canadian Payroll Association this week showed that of more than 2,000 workers surveyed, 57% said they'd be in trouble if their pay was withheld just 1 week. So what's behind this phenomenon? The CPA couldn't nail down one specific reason, but there was a common theme to most of the answers. Canadians find it hard to save. Here with me now is FP columnist Gary Marr to provide his thoughts. Hey Gary, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.
So let's start with that savings issue. Why do you think Canadians are finding it so hard to put away money these days?
They're spending too much. That would be the first thing that comes to mind. I mean, you hear it. The 1 week thing is that's really shocking. But, we've heard for years that you should have at least 6 months savings put away and for rough times, just in case, you know, you lose your job and to get you through severance. But we've eroded that. And, you know, at the same time as savings has been eroded, you know, credit is expanding. And we're close to a zero savings rate right now. You know, when you think decades and decades ago, it would have been in the teens. So we just don't save. And what's the flip? Obviously, the consequence of that is, you know, we're in deep trouble when the tap gets turned off.
Yeah. So let's talk more about that debt. I mean, do you think that Canadians, on top of, you know, just not being offered great savings rates at the banks, do you think just so much money's going to mortgage and credit card payments that there's no money left over to save once you're done paying your bills?
I think that's part of it. I mean, you're right in hitting on that the banks aren't paying much. The incentive to save is negligible now. I mean, what do you get? Well, if you're lucky and you get a point and a quarter at a bank that, you know, you think they're doing you a favor. I mean, you hack out the service charges and it's probably costing you money to keep your money at the bank. I think, isn't there a story about a couple of weeks ago about some U.S. institution that was actually charging people to keep their money at the bank?
Yes.
So what's the point of keeping your money at the bank anymore? So Canadians are plowing through it. Plus, you know, there hasn't been incredible wage growth, so that's part of the story as well. You know, with no wage growth, then that's another problem. And then the third issue is it's so cheap to borrow now. It's ridiculous. The prime rate's 3%. You know, if you get a mortgage, you get a little more house than you maybe might have otherwise because you're borrowing at 3%, and usually that's discounted, so you might be borrowing as low as 2.25%. I mean, that's practically free money. I mean, I went and bought a car a couple of years ago, and what they gave me 0.9% for 4 years. Why would anybody want to pay cash at 0.9%? Why would anybody want to save at 0.9%?
Mm. Good point. I wonder if there's a generational aspect to this, though. The CPA survey that I told you about earlier, that was the majority of respondents were between 35 and 54, and interestingly, 75% of those said they'd only saved a quarter of their retirement savings. Do you think it's different for younger people, that they're better savers, or the baby boomer generation are better savers, or Generation X? I mean, or is it just the same? Canadians are all lousy at saving.
Well, I think historically, you get older and you come from a different age of savings, and where savings was more encouraged, people saved. They knew what the word layaway meant. I mean, you ask kids today, well, what does layaway mean? They don't know. Younger people are more interested in more consumer electronics, like telecommunication goods, which tend to buy with, plans that commit you to large amounts and make it harder to save. And I think, something I wonder about now, we're in an era of low rates for a fair chunk of time now, like over they've gone lower than they were before, but we've been at pretty low rates now for almost about since 97, 98 even. You start to wonder, everybody talks about the 80s, and there's got to be some young people who go, what are the 80s? What are double-digit rates? That can't happen. That's impossible. There must be a disconnect because you've never seen it in your lifetime and you don't know anything about it, that you realize, oh, this can't happen.
Hmm. I wonder if there's a new normal being created here because of all of this. In that survey, 40% of respondents said they're going to postpone their retirement. So is that the answer here? Are people just going to have to work longer to save for retirement?
Yeah, I think, there's so much made about people, I'm not going to be retired at 65 because I didn't save enough. But you're not going to retire at 65. You're going to end up working longer, and you're going to get to end up living longer too. I mean, nobody ever mentions that we've tacked another decade on the end. So as a percentage of your life spent working versus retiring, I haven't done the numbers, but maybe the percentage hasn't moved all that much. So if you, if you retire at 68, I mean, is that the end of the world? Who's going to retire at 60? The French? I mean,
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Even in Europe, their dreams of early retirement may be starting to fade a little bit too. I mean, the idea of retiring at freedom 55, I mean, who retires at 55?
Hmm. So, all this aside, what's your advice for people who are finding it really hard to save? What are the few things that they really need to do to make sure that they're putting an adequate amount? And what do you think is a good savings rate for someone every year?
Well, obviously a lot has to do with what stage of life you're in. I mean, you can almost look, if you're buying a house, you can almost look as that as a bit of a forced savings plan, because some of your payments are going towards principal, which will be, which is establishing equity in your house, which hopefully will be stable. But, one of the first aspects of savings, and, there's been endless studies on this, is just having a budget. I mean, most people don't have a budget. There's especially among young, there was a study about university students a while back that showed very little concept of budgeting. And, that's the first step, is having an idea of what you're actually spending and what your actual revenue is. I mean, treating yourself maybe more like a business and realizing, I'm cash flow negative. This can't go on forever. I mean, you can't be cash flow negative, can you? Unless you're in the United States of America. But mostly that will get you into trouble over time. But that would be my first thing. You got to establish a budget. And there's so many online tools now. You could just, if you type budget into a Google search engine and look for some online tool for budgeting to track your expenses, you can probably get one for free at about half a dozen sites. I get pitches for the stories on online budget sites every day. So I would start with budgeting, and I would target, any amount of savings. God, if it's $2 a week, start at $2 a week. If it's $1 a week, if you could cut out one latte and you save $4 a week, that's $4, and just work your way up.
All right. Good advice, Gary, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on.